Hi, this is Babelito.
And this is Favi Fav, and you're listening to a Mordida Minisode, a small bite in between our full episodes to tide you over until next Thursday.
Take it away, vámonos!
Mordida! 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 Mordida!
Mordida! Hey, Babelito.
¿Qué rollo, Fabi?
Let's talk about our Blue Apron experience.
Girl, I don't even know where to start. I went nuts. I cooked everything.
What happened? Tell me everything.
I cook everything from couscous to pasta to fish to chicken to puerco to you name it. It was amazing.
You know that I have never cooked couscous in my life.
Me neither.
And I was cooking couscous.
It was so easy.
I was like filling my Ina Garten barefoot Contessa fantasy, man.
And everything was so good. And I had leftovers. Right now I'm by myself, so I had food for the entire weekend.
Yeah. You know what I really like is, like, I didn't know that pink lemons were a real thing.
I don't like, when I saw that in the box, I was like, okay, let's do this.
Yeah, there's so many ingredients that I've never dared to cook because why? Uh-huh. But then Blue Apron just makes it so easy. And with flexible, customized recipes each week based on your preferences, Blue Apron has several delivery options so you can choose for what fits your needs. And there's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them.
Yes, check out this week's menus and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/latinos. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/latinos.
That's blueapron.com/latinos. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Hi, it's Favi Fav, and today we have a special Mordida minisode with my one and only Tia Julie. My Aunt Julie is visiting from Mexico today, and I wanted to talk to her because she's in a bit of an interesting situation. She's a white lady in Mexico and then comes over to the United States every once in a while to hang out with us. Hi, Tia. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
So I've known my aunt since I was born, and she's been part of our family for years. And even though she's technically not my aunt anymore, we've still stayed in touch. Because, you know, white people are amazing that way. And my Aunt Julie is really amazing. So we just went and ate
pupusas.
Pupusas are amazing, and you miss them, right? Because where are you right now?
Well, I'm in Hermosillo, Mexico, northern. No such thing as pupusas. No such thing as lo roco. I couldn't get anybody to tell me what it is. Nobody knows in northern Mexico. And I'm the only one that makes chili verde in northern Mexico.
So I loved it. We were at the restaurant. You're like, dos pupusas de lo roco, por favor. And the lady was like, what? Lo roco? You know what that is?
I know. Yeah. I don't fit very well in.
But my Aunt Julie is, just so you guys know, she's of Italian and Irish descent, and she has red hair. And do you feel like you stick out in Hermosillo and Sonora?
Well, no, there's a lot of Americans and Canadians there, but yeah, they have their zones that they live in, or their barrios or whatever. It's not in with the, you know, average people. And then my husband is Mexican from Hermosillo. Yeah. And so I live in a little ranchito, and there's no Americans, no Canadians, yeah, no nothing. We're kind of out from the city. So yes, I do stick out. I mean, you know, I don't notice. I guess it doesn't bother me so much as it did when I first moved down there, because especially in this little town, yeah, where we live, I'm it. I don't know of any others. I mean, they travel through.
Right.
But, you know, I stick out. And so, yeah, and they'd stare a lot, you know, but I've gotten used to it now, so I guess I just don't notice it. Or they're finally used to the crazy American that lives on the corner. I don't know.
So what happened? Why did you move from Las Vegas to Mexico?
Well, My husband, many years ago, he has a social security number, but many years ago, he made a mistake.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all do when we're young.
Yeah.
And it came back to literally bite us in the ass. And so we went to lawyers and spent a lot of money and couldn't. They said, well, you have to go to Mexico to fix it. And, you know, the first time we tried, we were like, that's not an option. Our whole family is here, you know. And my husband had been in the country for years. Now he, you know, had a green card. And like I said, he has a legal Social Security card. So we were kind of stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
He wasn't really illegal.
Right.
But he wasn't really legal. And until 9/11, it didn't matter. There, he worked. He had no problems.
And then,
but then things changed. And little by little, they were getting worse and worse. We had a home. We had a boat. We had a good life, you know.
You have a whole family here.
And we have all family, you know.
Yeah.
And it was rough. But so when we started going to the lawyers again, you know, we put it off for a while and to see what we could do. And they said the same thing. Things were just getting more and more difficult. So we decided to be proactive.
Okay.
And just go down there ourselves. Mm. And we thought we wouldn't only be a couple of years and we'd be coming back. And, you know, we lost our home eventually.
Yeah.
My son moved in and took over the payments and for a while. And then we just thought, and then just one thing led to another. And I've been down there 8 years now.
8 years.
And when we went to the American consulate to try to apply for a visa, just a visitor's visa for him to come and see his family.
Yeah.
He was not deported, but they turned us down and said that you have to wait 10 years before we can even try that, and that he would never get a residency again. So we you know, and we were devastated. And then after a while, we thought, well, you know, I'm a believer in grow where you're planted. So we were able to buy a little ranchito and move out of the city. And we've made a home here. Now we won't come back. I mean, I
love your house in Hermosillo.
Yeah, we've made a home. We have 10 cats, 4 dogs, a whole slew of chickens, and a couple of roosters, and numerous stray animals that I feed.
Yeah.
And garden and fruit trees. Yeah. And we've done all that in the last 8 years. So I'm happy there now. But sometimes I really, really miss my family. I miss Las Vegas. I miss, you know.
Yeah.
And he can't come back. He misses his family so bad, you know. So when you guys come down, it's such a treat.
I love going there. And I'm going to try to come every year. I think I've only gone down like 2 or 3 times.
Twice. This last time you stayed longer.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you want to see pictures of my Aunt Julie's awesome house, I have a bunch on my Instagram from when I went last time. When did I go last time?
In October.
First of October.
It
was your anniversary.
It was our 20th anniversary, and we were celebrating.
That was awesome. So you're back and forth, and because you are an American, it's easy for you to cross the border, no problem, right, every time?
It is.
Yeah.
I don't know how long that's going to stay, because there's so much... okay, I'm trying to be nice, but they're really pissed off in Mexico.
Yeah. Are they,
really
like,
big
people
time.
People are talking about it over there?
Yes, yes. And, you know, and it's, there's a lot of, because I'm in the opposite side. I mean, I know both sides, okay?
Yeah.
And being an American citizen, I kind of get upset when I see too much protesting over here, because I'm thinking, you know, you need to... It's okay, so you came here because you know it's a good place to be, this country.
Yeah.
But, and so don't be too greedy about it, you know. But on the other hand, I don't have any rights whatsoever in Mexico.
Mm.
And if I did all that, they don't care that I don't agree, you know. So it's just tough. It's tough because I'm kind of sitting in the middle watching and know both sides of it. I see.
Yeah.
I understand, you know, the people in Mexico and what they're going through. And I just don't get why, well, I try not to be too political.
Yeah.
You know, I am not happy with our president.
I mean,
there's a few things that maybe he'll do that I like. Mm. Don't consider myself a super liberal, but don't consider myself a super conservative.
Right.
I'm one of those people that say, think for yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't just follow a party, you know. But yeah, they're pissed down there, really big time. Okay?
So you think they're going to retaliate on Americans, or not retaliate, but you know what I'm talking about? Like, make stricter laws?
Well, I can tell you the visas for just a visitor's visa for 6 months has gone up. Yeah. They're going to do it, you know, they're going to hit you in the pocketbook if they can, right. I think. Listen, I don't run back and forth every 6 months and get my visa like I'm supposed to, because basically they don't care unless you're trying to get out of the country by air, which I attempted to do one time and got held back until I fixed that. But I don't want to be without my visa now, and I'm definitely going to go try to get my residency because
I don't know.
I might get back here and not get to go back down to my husband because they're mad. And I see on the news down there every day how they're changing. You know, we buy a lot of beef from Mexico here in the United States, and they're looking for other places to sell it to. Mm-hmm. I live in the beef capital of Mexico, Sonora, the state of Sonora. And I couldn't even get a good piece of meat because they were sending it all up here.
Yeah.
And it's so expensive, but they're looking other sources to sell the meat, a lot of things. I don't know what's going to happen, but things are going to change because Mexico and the United States live hand in hand. You know, the oil is Mexican oil, but they pipe it up to the United States to the refineries here. They refine it and then send it back down. I don't know, with all this anger and hatred, how they're going to work this out.
Well, let's change it. Let's go on a different
note. Yeah, because I...
But something that all my friends know about my Tia Julie is that she is an amazing cook. I cannot go without her lasagna, with some of the best lasagna I ever had. But when I went to Hermosillo last time, you were cooking with the best of them over there. The Mexican food you made was incredible. I mean, you've always cooked great Mexican food, but with the ingredients from over there, that first day I was there and you made that carne.
Beefsteak ranchero.
Yeah, beefsteak ranchero. Oh my God, it was so amazing. So what are your favorite foods from Sonora that, you know, because they have a lot of traditional foods out there.
I don't know if it's Sonora that's some of my favorite foods. Some of my favorite Mexican food is chili verde, pork chili verde con papas,
You know?
And I like that beefsteak ranchero. I make that a lot. And pozole. And I, you know, I'm not crazy about northern Mexico's menudo because it's a white menudo.
Oh.
I like the red.
You like the red.
I like the red.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, their carne asada is amazing. Their ribs, the way they fix their ribs down there.
Well, everything's done over a wood flame, right? Mm-hmm. Like wood fire in Sonora because that's just the style that they cook everything in because of the trees out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so amazing.
You know, when I went up to get my visa this time, we stopped in a little town called Santa Ana on the way home.
Uh-huh.
And my husband's friend was with us. And he said, come on, I know a little restaurant in Santa Ana. And I have driven through there a million times, but I always stop at something right on the main road. So we kind of went into the little town.
Uh-huh.
And there's this family that has a restaurant. And all they serve you, you don't have a choice, is carne asada, the fresh beans, but the, you know, like liquidy beans.
A la olla?
Well,
there's machucados. They're like, yeah.
And their homemade tortillas and their salsa. And you don't have any option. They just say how many orders, you know, and they serve it. It was the best beans and salsa I've ever tasted in this little tiny town, you know. So it was really good. And there's a lot of places like that down there in these little towns where you don't have an option. You just say, okay, you know, I think I like birria.
Birria's
good.
That's
probably one of my favorites.
And that's what, stewed goat meat?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, and everything's done in a red sauce out there, right?
Yeah, they don't do green.
So you have to bring the green.
So like I said, I'm the only huera. I'm the only huera there, but I'm the only one that knows how to do chili verde con papas.
You know?
Yeah.
What do you miss the most from here? Like the food from here?
Oh, probably everything. I'm a foodie person.
Yeah.
I'm a real foodie. Okay, now Hermosillo is a big city, and they have Thai restaurants, and they have Chinese restaurants, and they have sushi, but they've all got a Mexican twist to it. So I miss real Thai food.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I get when I come up here.
I saw you when you've been twice already
on
this trip.
Yeah. My last trip, I had a list of places I had to hit before.
Yeah.
And I miss the pupusas like we had today because, you know, they don't make anything like that there.
Oh, man.
And so we did it up good today with
them. We had pupusas. You had loroco and cheese. I had revueltas, which is chicharrón, beans, and cheese. And then we had plátano frito with frijol y crema.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had yuca con chicharrón.
Fried yuca.
Oh, yeah. So good. Yeah. It was so good.
And of course that slaw is always on top.
El curtido on top of everything. It's so good. So last time I went down to Mexico, you already mentioned all the animals you have. You have a bit of a farm going on in your ranch. Mm-hmm. You have 10 cats, I remember. Mm-hmm. When I first
10 cats.
Went,
we still have them.
When I first went, there were kittens, and now they're all big. You have how many dogs now?
Four. Plus two that are kind of mine. They don't really live on the property, but I feed them every morning. They're too wild to really.
Yeah.
They fight with my dogs. So, but they're right next door in an empty kind of area.
Oh, right.
And they come every morning like clockwork to get fed, and I keep buckets of water for them and stuff like that.
And then you have chickens.
I have chickens.
Did I miss any animals?
No. No. And, we're hoping to have goats soon, but if we get that property.
How many goats?
I just want a couple. My problem is, you know, I'm not a true farmer.
Yeah.
I want the fresh eggs and I want goats so I can make goat's milk. But to do that, you have to have babies. And what are we going to do with all the babies? I won't sell them to anybody that wants to eat them. I mean, I eat it, but it's not, I can't eat anything I raise that I know personally, you know? So that's my problem. You know, I'm not a true farmer. I can't eat my animals.
Oh my gosh. But you did start gardening. I saw that you have a vegetable garden now, right?
We planted a huge garden this year. We have so much lettuce, and just everything. And you know, in Mexico, you throw nothing away, at least where we live. And you recycle constantly. And we had an old tinaco. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's a big water tank. And they're usually, the kind that I'm talking about is in the ground. And the water from the wells come into the tinaco, and then you pump it up to another tinaco because where we are, no services hardly except electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an old tinaco that collapsed, and Luis wouldn't throw it away, and he broke that down, cut it, and made raised beds for me.
Oh, cool!
And cut them, and we planted. So we have these big circles at the back of the property that are full of vegetables. Yeah, because we're trying to get a little bit closer to eating natural because we have our fresh eggs. I mean, that's why I have the chickens. I promised them I wouldn't ever eat them, but I wanted them to give me eggs. So we made a deal.
What do you do to pass time in Mexico? Well, you garden. Well, you have so much to do with the animals.
Yeah, I don't work down there. I can't work. And Luis has a business. He does the stamping, you know, concrete stamping and the staining. And
as a matter of fact, just to point it out, the studio that we're in right now, I'm working out of the Jewel, Las Vegas. And this building, the concrete on this building was done by my tío Luis that my tía's talking about right now. So I know that we've talked about Latinos and how the role that they've played in Las Vegas, especially building everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just hilarious when we were talking, when I visited you last time, you're like, oh yeah, your tío made that building. He was part of the construction crew.
He also did the spaghetti bowl.
Yeah.
And the water treatment plant.
Yeah.
And you know, he loved doing that kind of work. It's backbreaking work, but I'm telling you, he loved doing it.
But I just think it's incredible. It's like we're sitting here in a room that my tío probably did the concrete on.
He did, yep.
Yeah. And he's in Mexico now. But he's doing concrete work over there too, and it's catching on.
Yeah, it's more specialized. It's the stamping. He does beautiful work, and that was kind of hard to get into because, you know, after being in the United States for so long and going down there, it was he was more of a foreigner than anything for a long time. He didn't fit in down there, and so it was hard to get going at first. But now he's got a name. You know, I mean, they want his work. It's very. So that's what he does, and I just stay home and cook and take care of the animals and garden, and you know, and I manage to keep myself really busy. I've started a new project where I'm doing by hand, but, you know, not in the computer or anything. I'm making cookbooks, a collection of my favorite cookbooks for my kids.
Oh, awesome!
You know, of my favorite recipes. I'm sorry. So that's another thing I've started doing, and I hopefully can give it.
Yeah.
You know, give it to my kids as if they all cook. Everybody cooks.
Yeah.
You know, my sons are good cooks. My granddaughter's a good cook. You know, they've kind of inherited that from me. So, which I'm happy about that.
So it was so awesome when we were shooting the video for Me Too, we saw you at Lindo Michoacán, mm-hmm. and you were with your two sons. Shout out to Steven and Ricky.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about my podcast because that's what we were doing. And I'll never forget you said, I just want you to remember whenever you're talking about white people that you have a white aunt that lives in Mexico.
Yeah.
And I know that I have a white aunt that lives in Mexico, but do you want to say anything about that? Or I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
Because I know you listen to the podcast sometimes and we go
when
off.
When I can get it.
Yeah. Yeah, when you have internet and we go off a lot of times. But I know that I consider you Mexican because you live in Mexico.
I know your mom told me that one time too. She said, you're not a white girl. You're a little Latina girl.
Yeah.
No, I just, you know, how can I say this without making everybody mad?
No,
I understand you.
Yeah.
And I understand, like I said, I can see both sides of it. I grow, you know, I've been in this family for a long time or in this world, the Latin world for a long, long time. So I understand, but we're not all that way.
Oh, I know.
And that's all I was saying to you was
absolutely.
That remember that, you know, but I'm different, you know, that I'm a different kind of person. I was told that a long time ago, not different. I was actually told I was weird by a teacher.
Yeah.
So
by a teacher told you were weird.
Yeah. So
I think that when we're expressing that and we say, you know, white people are this way and we make fun of them, it's a way for us to make a comment on a larger construct that has a racist construct that has kind of ruled over the world, really, for a long time. And to me, a lot of my white friends that listen to the podcast have reached out and said, you know, hey, if I ever say anything that's offensive, you know, let me know. And I also find that very interesting because a lot of people that listen to the podcast that aren't brown, it sometimes triggers something and makes them think about the way that they say things.
Am I saying things? Yeah.
Am I saying things correctly?
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool because then I also think about that a lot.
My motto is I try not to judge anything.
Yeah.
Anybody, anyone about anything because that's not my job, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I can see, I see both sides of it. I live down there.
Yeah.
Like I said, they don't really care. I don't know if it's going to change in the future. I have only one time have been confronted down there. And I went in to pick up a prescription and a young guy behind the counter, something had happened at the border with a young boy and he'd got shot by the border guards on the American side. And he just wanted to climb all over me. You know, he was almost, I thought he was going to come around from around the counter. And I said, hey, you know, I didn't have anything to do with it. And I said, and he said, well, what do you think? And I said, well, I think if it was unjust, if what they did was wrong, then they need to be punished for it. You know, I am sorry that that happened, but, you know, we're not all that way.
Yeah.
You know, back off.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I've never had a problem, not at all down there.
Yeah.
I think when you try to understand other people's feelings, their customs, their, you know, society or whatever, when you try, people are very open to you.
Yeah.
You
know? On either side.
On either side.
On either side. Agreed.
You know.
It's tough times right now, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
It's actually scary times to me because there's so much anger.
There's a lot of anger.
A lot of anger. Everybody's so mad at everybody.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But I'm not mad at you.
I'm not mad at you.
And I love you.
I love you too.
Thank you for taking the time to come and talk to me and be on Latinos Who Lunch. This is, you're the second white person on our show.
Really? Who was the
Michaela, you met her today.
Oh, yes, yeah. Okay. See?
See? Building bridges right
That's
here.
That's right.
Building bridges, not walls.
That's right. Oh, dumb idea. Don't even get me started on that.
All right. Thank you, Tia.
You're welcome.
And shout out to Tio Luis in Mexico. I will hopefully see you soon. I really want to go out there soon. And as always, you can find us at latinoswholunch.com. You can email us at latinoswholunch@gmail.com. Remember to go to iTunes and rate us 5 stars, 5 stars only, because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. I'm Favi Fav, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.